Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. The time is 1:35 p.m. We're in Belch Room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the nation's most beautiful snowy capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Monday, March 9th, 2026. On this day in 1959, my dad, Rodney Bjorkman, was born. Members present with us today are Senator Dunbar, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Yunt, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Senator Merrick is in Senate Finance. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Welcome, everyone, to Senate Labor and Commerce. Please turn off your cell phones and join me in extending a warm Senate Labor and Commerce welcome to our recording secretary, Carrie Tupo, and our LAO moderator, Jude Augustine. We have four items on our agenda today. First up is Senate Bill 181, Employment Information Disclosure. Following that will be three bills brought to us by Senator Kaufman, Senate Bill 163, Repeal Certain Inactive Funds / Accounts, Senate Bill 263, Child Care Facility Loan Funds, Senate Bill 264, Repealing Housing Funds and Accounts. First up today is Senate Bill 181. This is our first hearing on this bill, brought to us by the Seafood Task Force that met last summer and last fall, I should say the summer of 2024. And that fall, this bill is being carried by our Senate President, Senator Stevens' office. With us to present the bill is his trusty staff, Mr. Tim Lamkin. Mr. Lamkin, welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce. Please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens and to the Joint Legislative Task Force evaluating Alaska's seafood industry. Before you is a bill resultant of that task force's report. It was one of many recommendations coming out of the work of that task force evaluating Alaska's seafood industry. The bill here is casually referred to as the data sharing bill. It supports collaboration between University of Alaska and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development to provide economists, scientists, policymakers with cross-sector long-term program outcomes so we can consider not just program costs and inputs, but program outcomes, sort of providing information on a return on our investment, so to speak. This bill would provide some statutory authority to operate more efficiently across agencies to produce reports and statistical analysis for us to more efficiently operate. That's the overall purpose and thrust of the bill, Mr. Chairman. I'm not really here to speak much other than just to simply shepherd the bill through the system. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to our star witnesses that are provided to you on our invited testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lamkin. Are there any questions for Mr. Lamkin? Hearing and seeing none, we will go to our first star witness, Mr. Chad Hutchison. Mr. Hutchison comes to us from the university system. Thank you for joining us today. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony on this excellent bill.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman. For the record, my name is Chad Hutchison. I'm the State Director for Government Relations for the University of Alaska System. And I'm here today to talk about our generalized support as a system for this bill. If you need any expert analysis, then we also have Dr. Brett Watson online from UAA and ICER. We support SB 181. We believe that barriers to data collection essentially create operating costs to the university, both in time and money. And we believe that a better flow with the Department of Labor means that those costs, those opportunity costs are reduced. We believe the benefits of this bill include better evidence-based research to inform state policy, smoother analysis of current and emerging workforce trends, and more efficient evaluation of workforce outcomes for our graduates. So we think that without SB 181, that our ability to use the data is unnecessarily constrained, and that's an issue for the entire state. So we believe the passage of this bill will remove those barriers and still preserve the confidentiality of the individual records. So with that is my testimony, and thank you for your time.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Hutchison. Are there any questions? Seeing and hearing none, we will move to our next presenter, Dr. Brett Watson. Dr. Watson, thank you very much for joining us today in Senate Labor and Commerce. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your presentation.
Hi, can folks in the room hear me?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, Chair Bjorkman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dr. Brett Watson, and I'm an economist at the University of Alaska Anchorage's Institute of Social and Economic Research, which we colloquially refer to as ICER. Today, I'm testifying in support of SB 181, which would streamline data access for researchers who are working on Alaska-specific policy issues. As all of you on the committee know, Alaska's communities are unique geographically, economically, and socially. But the data that we rely on to understand these communities is often overly broad or not timely enough. Federal sources of data that I use on a regular basis, like the U.S. Census or the Bureau of Labor Statistics, often provide a lot of struggle for us to give us reliable information about our rural communities because their sample sizes are really just too small or their coverage overly broad. On the other hand, the Alaska Department of Labor, Workforce and Development maintains data that is more specific, more accurate, and more timely. Researchers at ICER have used this data in the past, but over time, this process has become quite burdensome, and I believe that the previous two testifiers have spoken to some of this, some of these real time and opportunity costs that are presented from these inefficiencies. Oftentimes, we have to send staff to Juneau, negotiate custom agreements, and go through multiple layers of legal and procurement approvals. This is time, money, and effort on both sides, and it slows down our ability to respond to the needs of the state, particularly around timely issues. When we get legislative requests for information, when legislators reach out to us asking specific questions, we have to start this process from basically zero, ramp it up, and oftentimes that's not responsive to the legislative cycle, which often needs more timely information. So SB 181 provides a solution to this. It would allow the university and the department to collaborate more efficiently, removing those hurdles while still protecting confidentiality. And ICER has a long track record of handling sensitive data securely. So I've included as part of my written testimony a memo, which I think more fully outlines how this research collaboration might work. I want to note that ICER and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development have had a really long and strong working relationship for many years, and I believe that this measure would further the interest of both of these organizations. Past hearings on the bill have included remarks from representatives of the department who have spoken to some of these important benefits for further collaboration, I would reference past committee hearings on the bill for records of those testimonies. This year marks ICER's 65th anniversary. It was originally created by the legislature to understand important economic and demographic information for the state of Alaska. And as I've been thinking about ICER's history and really the history of the state's changing economy overall, I've thought about the number of instances in which ICER has had to adapt to updating the changes in the world. One of the most significant changes over this time period is just the changing nature of data. Data has gotten so much bigger, so much more timely, so much more instantaneous. And to me, what SB 181 represents is kind of a modernization and the next natural step in the evolution of ICER and the evolution of the state as it tries to understand itself. So I think that SB 181 gives us a smart, cost-effective way to unlock the value of existing data sets, improve research quality, and support good policymaking. And I'd urge you to support the bill, and thank you for your time and consideration today.
Most excellent, Dr. Watson. Thank you. Are there any questions for Dr. Watson? I have a question. Oh, Senator Dunbar.
No, go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Oh. I'm curious, what data are you exactly interested in, and how will you get that from the Department of Labor?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Bjorkman. So the data that we are interested in are what the data refers to as wage and salary information. So these are data that are collected as part of the Department of Labor's core mission, which is administering unemployment insurance. And so these data are collected sort of as a byproduct of that larger effort, an important mission for the department. But what these data do is they allow us to understand who's working and where they're working and what they're earning. And the reason that that's important in the state of Alaska is that at a federal level, these data are similarly collected from survey type instruments where an organization like the Bureau of Labor Statistics will go and survey a few people in a community and ask them, whether they're working or not currently. Now in the state of Alaska, if we don't have a broader and more representative sample, we just don't know that much about what's going on in individual communities. And so these records provide a really important supplement when those federal data sets fall short. And so they would tell us, for example, how many people are employed in a community like Soldotna, which is surprisingly unavailable from certain federal products, which are only provided at a more aggregate level at the borough level. So we'd only be able to understand employment from the perspective of the Kenai Peninsula borough. But as I'm sure that you're better aware than I am, Senator, the economy of Nikiski is quite a bit different than the economy of Kenai or Soldotna. And understanding the differences between those economies, I think, is quite important to understanding their individual trends and dynamics. And so that's the opportunity that these data have or provide for us. Like I said, they're collected as sort of a byproduct, but they enable us to importantly understand trends in these economies on a more real-time basis than federal products when enabled us to do.
Very good. All right. Any other questions for Dr. Watson? Seeing and hearing none, we will move on to Ms. Diane Hirschberg. Dr. Diane Hirschberg is not available. Ah, rats. Okay. Well, Dr. Hirschberg, no stranger to this committee, to be sure. So we can reach out to her if we need further information. So, but thank you for being willing, Dr. Hirschberg. Also available for questions from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, Paloma Harbor, if anyone has any questions. Ms. Harbor, did you have any prepared statements that you would like to make about Senate Bill 181 today?
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Paloma Harbor with the Division of Employment and Training Services at the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I didn't have any prepared statements. I was happy to speak to any questions you might have for the department.
Very well. Do you have any concerns with this item? Any concerns sharing this type of data with the university so that they can study economic impacts that they're looking for?
Thank you, Chair, for the question. No, I don't have any concerns. We have entered into ad hoc agreements with the university on occasion. We would have to make sure that we dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, that they kept the federal security requirements, you know, met all those. But we have a history of working with them sporadically. This would just formalize the process so that it wouldn't take so much work to do those individual agreements every time.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for being available today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Are there any further questions or comments about Senate Bill 181 before we set the bill aside? Mr. Lamkin, do you have anything in wrap-up? Seeing and hearing none, at this time we will set Senate Bill 181 aside for further consideration at a meeting in the near future. We'll take a brief at ease while we set up for the next bill. We're back on the record. It's 1:49 p.m. Up next here in Senate Labor and Commerce is Senate Bill 163. This is our second hearing on this bill. During our first hearing on January 30th, we heard a presentation of the bill by sponsor Senator James Kaufman. During that hearing, the sponsor let us know that he was exploring other funds which might fit inside of the intent of this bill. To that end, members have a draft committee substitute in their packets, which we will consider later on in this very meeting. With us to give a brief recap of the original bill, we have staff to Senator Kaufman, Takuma Inoue. Mr. Inoue, please state your name for the record and begin your brief recap of the bill.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman, and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, Takuma Inoue, staffer to Senator James Kaufman. To refresh, SB 163's purpose was to use the 2025 LFD Inactive State Funds Report to repeal inactive state funds or accounts that have no further use or have not been touched, often for decades. After the last hearing, we went into discussions with LFD and legal about how we could expand the bill. During that process, we realized that a number of these inactive funds were tied to inactive programs. Together with LFD and legal, we concluded that if we repealed a fund, we needed to also repeal the associated program or references in other statutes in order to do this cleanly. As a result of those conversations, we would like the committee to consider a committee substitute that pares down the original bill, SB 163, from 11 to 3 funds or accounts that only need one section of statute repealed to eliminate the unused fund. That concludes my summary of SB 163. Thank you, Chair Bjorkman.
Very good. Thank you for that, Mr. Inoue. Are there any questions for the bill sponsor staff? Hearing and seeing no questions or comments at this time, also available for questions from the Division of Legislative Finances, Mr. Rob Carpenter. Mr. Carpenter, thank you for being here today. Hearing and seeing no questions, we will open public testimony now on Senate Bill 163. Is there anyone in the room or online who wishes to testify to this item? Hearing and seeing no one, we'll close public testimony on Senate Bill 163. Members have in their packets a draft proposed committee substitute. May I have a motion, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move to adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 163, version 34. Lima Sierra 0798-I India as the working document. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'll object for purposes of explanation. Mr. Inoue.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman. Takuma Inoue, staff to Senator Kaufman for the record. The committee substitute before the committee removes 8 funds and retains 3 of the funds from the original SB 163. As mentioned before, these 3 funds only require the removal of 1 reference in statute. The 3 funds it keeps are the Public Access Fund, the Alaska Temporary Assistance Program Emergency Account, and the 2001 Special Olympics World Winter Games Reserve Fund. I'm happy to list the funds that the committee substitute removes if the committee would like. Otherwise, this concludes my explanation of the committee substitute.
Thank you very much, Mr. Inoue. Yes, I'm interested. If you could just talk about the rationale for why we took those other funds out, that would be most excellent.
Sure. So when we were working with LFD and legal through the chair, Takuma Inoue, staffer to Senator Kaufman, when we were working with LFD and legal, we decided to look at, for example, in the original SB 163, we had proposed repealing a foreclosure expense account. We had about 4 of these in the original bill. However, we ran into concern from after discussions with LFD that just taking the foreclosure expense account without affecting the overarching program or the overarching fund could lead to unintended consequences. So as a result, we decided to go ahead and look for options where we can affect these funds in their whole nature rather than just the parts.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? This time I'll remove my objection to the committee substitute. Is there a further objection? Seeing and hearing none, committee substitute for Senate Bill 163, version I, is adopted. Is there any further committee discussion or questions on the underlying bill? Hearing and seeing none, what are the wishes of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move to report committee substitute for Senate Bill 163, version 34, Lima Sierra 0798/I, India, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing no objection, Senate Bill 163, version 34-LS0798/I as in Iliamna, is reported from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork and set up for the next bill. We're back on the record now. It is 1:57 p.m. here in Belts Room 105. The next item on our agenda is Senate Bill 263. With us to present the bill, we have staff to Senator James Kaufman, Mr. Takuma Inoue. Welcome back. Put yourself on the record and begin your presentation of this bill.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, Takuma Inoue, staffer to Senator James Kaufman. Senate District F. As we analyzed the inactive funds report, we concluded that the inactive funds identified by Legislative Finance Division fit into the following single subject buckets: housing, debt financing, energy, natural resources, community and economic development, veterans, and child care. This was because including programs and additional references in statute would not fit into the single fund, single statute framework. As we explored these buckets with Ledge Legal and Ledge Finance, we found that repealing many of the programs proved to be too technical and had other entanglements that we could not address in a timely manner this session. We worked with LFD and Legal to come up with a clean list that had minimal entanglements. This resulted in the committee substitute for SB 163 that this committee has just moved, SB 263 that we are discussing now, and SB 264 that we will discuss shortly. SB 263 follows the nature and theme of 163, but seeks to repeal inactive funds under the single subject of child care. Specifically, this bill affects the Child Care Facility Revolving Loan Fund program. By removing the fund itself, the foreclosure expense account, and the program together, this would be a clean removal from the books. The items for repeal in this bill are the Child Care Facility Revolving Loan Fund, the Child Care Facility Revolving Loan Fund foreclosure expense account, and the Child Care Facility Revolving Loan Fund program. And with that, I would be happy to give you more details about these funds, or I'm happy to take questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Inoue? Also here and available for questions from the Legislative Finance Division is Mr. Rob Carpenter. Thank you for being here. I have a question, Mr. Inouye. Can you give us a little bit of history on this fund? Where did it come from? Why is it not being used? What's happening? When did it start?
Yeah. So if you take a look at the inactive funds report, the 2025 version, we can go to line or item number 42. And in this table, it says that the Child Care Facility Revolving Loan Fund was established in 1976 as a way of helping child care facilities comply with the appropriate licensing standards for child care facilities, or to comply with the requirements for certification by deed. No loans have been made from this program for at least 20 years. And so while the statute at written does not appear to provide an advantage over private financing, it could be repealed or modified to provide more favorable terms to borrowers. So that is the history of the fund itself.
Very well. Thank you. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your presentation. So what is the dollar amount connected with these funds? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, for the record, Takuma Inouye, I believe that there is zero involved in these accounts, anyone that we have looked at.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Hearing and seeing no further questions for Mr. Inouye or Mr. Carpenter, we will set this bill aside for further consideration at a future meeting. We will go right now into our next item, also from the Honorable Senator James Kaufman, and that item is Senate Bill 264, I believe.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman, and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, Takuma Inouye, staffer to Senator James Kaufman. Similarly to SB 163 and 263, SB 264 also follows the nature and theme of SB 163, but seeks to repeal inactive funds under the general single subject of housing. This bill looks to repeal three inactive funds and accounts currently under the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Both my office and LFD have communicated with AHFC, and they have indicated that these funds and accounts are obsolete and ready for repeal. The items for repeal in this bill include the Home Ownership Assistance Fund, the Operating Loss Reserve Account, and the Restricted Title Loss Reserve Account. Also included in SB 264 is the removal of a reference to the Restricted Title Loss Reserve Account. And this is a reference to the account in the section for limitations on the use of the Housing Assistance Loan Program. So in order to repeal the Restricted Title Loss Reserve Account, we wanted to also remove the reference as well. With that, I am happy to take questions on SB 264.
Senator Gray Jackson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, thank you for your presentation. So do any of these funds have an associated dollar amount?
I don't believe so.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Inouye, similar to my question on the previous bill, could you give us a little bit more history on why this fund was created, when it was created, and what's happened to cause it to go into inactive status?
Sure. So specifically for the Operating Loss Reserve Account and the Restricted Title Loss Reserve Account, these were both kind of a way for AHFC to meet either legal expenses incurred by the foreclosure of properties acquired by AHFC in the operating loss reserve account, or to compensate AHFC were to incur a loss on the purchasing of a housing loan from a small community. Both of these accounts have since then not been used by AHFC, and so for I'm not exactly sure for the timing on both of them, but they have been inactive for years. Additionally, the Home Ownership Assistance Fund has modern equivalents or modern alternatives that can meet the original intent of the statute without having this account in it.
Very well. Thank you. Are there any further questions for Mr. Inouye or Mr. Carpenter from the Legislative Finance Division? Hearing and seeing none, we will set Senate Bill 264 aside for further consideration at a future meeting. We'll take just a brief at ease before we conclude today's meeting. Brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record now. This concludes all of our business that we had on the schedule for today's meeting. We will resume on Wednesday of this week, same time, same place, with Senate Bill 121, Health Insurance Allowable Charges, as well as a presentation from the University of Alaska Fairbanks all about workforce development and what they are offering to folks who want to get an education and joining the workforce. So we're excited to hear that presentation. It'll be very good. As there is no further business to come before the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee at this time, we are adjourned at 2:07 p.m.